This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
On a Thursday, I'm Art Packer. My partner would be Wes Durham. We're here for the at least 3 hours. Maybe even more if we're in the mood.
Yeah, is that what we're going to do, extend the show?
Well, I don't know. That shirt, I'm not sure.
Whoa. Come on now.
844-SAY-ACCN is the number.
What's the problem?
Show the listening
viewing audience. Come on, right here,
camera
2. Camera 2.
What you've got on
today. Come on, camera 2. It is.
Welcome to ACC Network.
It's Elon Day.
You know what it is?
It's Elon Day.
I heard you the first. You don't have to yell at me.
Celebrate the heritage and history of our school.
Sir, do you know what network you work for?
The ACC Network.
And when does Elon join the league? Just out of curiosity's sake.
Maybe I've got breaking news.
Maybe you're dyslexic. And it's supposed to be Noel. Maybe that's what it's supposed to be. N-O-L-E.
Is that what you're thinking?
Dyslexic. Is there something on the back of the shirt? Is that just
it? No, that's it, Elon. That's all it needs to say, man.
I guess.
It's Elon Day. It's all it needs to say right there.
ACC Network. I'm Art Packer.
You went to an institution.
An alum of this great conference. That is Wes Durham.
I grew up around this great conference.
Yeah.
But Elon was kind enough to let me in school. More so give me a degree.
Well, when they start their network, I think you should be the leader in the clubhouse.
There's a good chance that'll happen, Coach.
Good grief.
So I decided on Elon Day I would wear an Elon shirt just to help celebrate my alma mater.
Hey, we're not here to help celebrate your alma mater. We're here to beat your alma mater like a drum.
Well, that's happened a lot this year.
Which we normally do in this league.
That's happened a lot this year in this league.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay. Don't worry. I cleared this up the food chain.
Well, I hope so.
I did. I cleared up the food chain, but I didn't tell you because I wanted this fresh. I wanted the fresh reaction.
Two things. Number one, when I walked down the steps, number one, I was glad to see you here on time. And number two, the second thing I noticed was E-L-O-N.
Fight, fight, fight.
Oh, boy.
There you go. What. Phoenix. Elon Day.
The good news is if you've got us on SiriusXM Channel 371, you can't see it.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Is it coming in any colors, or is that just it?
This is the one that I got right here. You like this. Come on.
No,
don't
beautiful.
Be jealous.
No, don't
we
worry.
We can take that sweatshirt out of glass up there.
No, that one stays right where it belongs.
Gotcha.
C-L-E-M-S-O-N. Proud member.
T-I-G-E-R-S-R-S.
You got it.
Fight, Tigers, fight, Tigers, fight, fight, fight.
I'm already done with you.
What about last night?
We're going to get to last night. We're going to get to the ACC Women's Tournament.
That was unbelievable yesterday. Yes. By the way, I tallied this up.
Uh-oh,
my math at work.
Hold on. For all you folks that are proud graduates of Elon,
here comes the finite math that Dr. Hayworth taught me.
West Durham math.
Dr. Hayworth taught me. We had 7 games of ACC basketball yesterday, 3 at the women's tournament, 4 regular season men's games, right?
3 plus 4 is 7. You're on a roll.
Thank you very much. We had, of the 7, we had 3 games that were one possession. Unbelievable. We had the 2-point game at Notre Dame, 2-point game at in Coral Gables with Miami and Virginia. And we had.
Wait a minute. Keep going.
67-65. Pittsburgh beat Notre Dame last night.
Okay. You sure? You done proof?
I'm done. Yeah.
You good?
Yeah. Three of them.
There you go.
3 of the 7.
You are on a roll today. I'm
perfect so far for the first 4 minutes of the show. Anyway, what an unbelievable day one at the women's tournament, right?
I mean, bonkers.
Lower seeds win.
13 seed, 14 seed, 15 seed. WWW. And
off to a big start.
I mean, you know, we had the breakdown yesterday and we talked about, hey, Notre Dame's on a 3-game winning streak. Playing pretty well, fresh off beating Florida State.
Exactly.
What do? They lose to a Pittsburgh team that was going into the game at 4 up and 25 down. They were 1-17 in the league. Looked at Notre Dame and their hot streak and Muffet and all her incredible accomplishments and the tradition and history and prestige of Notre Dame women's basketball. Went, don't think so. We'll play tomorrow. You guys going home.
And crazy. Lance White, who has battled all year long trying to get that program better, Deshaunette Harris scores. She goes double-double, 20 and 12.
Terrific.
And scores at the horn, basically 2 seconds left to win the game.
And steals the inbounds pass just for good measure.
Yeah. By the way, I like the rule in the women's game where you bang a timeout and move it to midcourt.
I do, too.
I like that rule a ton.
I do, too. Totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. But what a win for those guys. 4-25, and you're thinking,
yeah, let's get this thing over with.
Sack it up. We'll...
And the fact that Notre Dame was playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd won three. We kidded around yesterday that, ironically, on the men's side, you got North Carolina on a three-game win streak, sitting there at the bottom, yep, you know, bottom glob, thinking, hey, they could be a dangerous team in the tournament. And you're thinking Notre Dame, they're on a three-game win streak on the ladies' side, fresh off of beating Florida State. You're thinking, you know what, Notre Dame, Muffet's a great coach. They've got the championship DNA. They get a chance to jump on Pittsburgh that's 1-17 in the league. All right, let's get this thing over with and get the next round.
Right.
And then this happens. Yep. And the Panthers pull the shocker. But there was nothing but surprises. Quite frankly, I mean, Wake Forest knocks off North Carolina. I know that was a 12-13 seed, but the 13 seed's a winner. And, you know, we mentioned Miami getting healthy at the right time with perhaps one of the best players in the country. And they lose to Clemson last night. Tommy, hey, welcome to championship tournament basketball, man. Doesn't matter, men's side, women's side. Just seems like anybody can beat anybody. We'll just see the way it is.
We'll see what day two holds today, by the way, in Greensboro. Action gets started later this morning. I think now you got to say, okay, if I'm coming in there today and I'm playing these three teams that picked up wins, all these lower seeds, they're playing with house money now, aren't they?
No, without question. So you got 13 seed Wake taking on the 5th seed Virginia Tech girls, Coach Brooks.
Right.
That's 11 a.m. this morning.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Then you got Syracuse and Virginia. They did not play yesterday. That's your 8-9. Mm-hmm. They will play in the second game this afternoon in Greensboro. And then the first session tonight, you got the 15 seed Pitt taking on Georgia Tech, who, of course, had the one-day bye.
Yeah.
And Nell's got her girls playing great. And mm-hmm. then you got Clemson, the 14 seed, taking on Boston College, the 6th seed, the nightcap. So mm-hmm. here's your lineup today in Greensboro. Yep. And, proceed with caution is all I can tell you. 15, 14, and 13 are still live in the ACC Women's Tournament.
By the way, all these games will be available on the ESPN app and ACCNX starting at 11 a.m. this morning. And the top four have got to be sitting there thinking, okay, we're feeling really good about our situation, and then all that happened yesterday. Let's see if somebody can stem the tide a little bit in day two.
But, Wes, you know this as well as anybody, that Louisville – NC State, Duke, Florida State in the far right column, the 1-2-3-4 double bye. That double bye is such a huge advantage. Yep.
Yes,
this will
is.
Be also discussed next week.
Woo!
When we get to Greensboro. Because when you get a chance to go 2 days and everybody else is out there sweating and getting after mm-hmm. it and in competitive games and so forth, I think it just adds even more advantage to teams with that double bye.
Yeah. You know, the story for North Carolina yesterday in the first game in Greensboro is we touched on this yesterday when talking with Jen Hildreth. Courtney Banghart's team had gotten off such a good start, right? A little bit like Mike Young and Virginia Tech on the men's side. First-year coach, momentum, enthusiasm, get a couple nice wins to get started. They beat NC State, handing them their first loss. And then all of a sudden, things started to teeter a little bit. Yes, Janelle Bailey was hurt. You see her under the basket there playing with the big brace on her knee yesterday. But – boy, give Wake Forest a lot of credit. Jen Hoover's team scrapped yesterday.
Yep, no doubt.
And Ivana Rocca was really good yesterday
for
Wake Forest.
27-13, and Wake dominated the boards. I mean, 47-22 on the boards. When you're doing that to somebody, you're having your way. And unfortunately for North Carolina, season ends on an 8-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some positives for the season from that perspective. But, man, surprises all over the place in Greensboro.
Yeah.
13, 14, and 15 seeds all win. And we'll see what happens this morning beginning at 11 a.m.
Real quick, we'll touch on Clemson beating Miami yesterday because Amanda Butler had a lot of success a year ago, right? Remember in her first year at Clemson. And it's been hard for Clemson this year on the women's side. But yesterday – Kobe Thornton goes for 27, career high for her, 12 of 16 from the floor. Clemson got out in front of Miami pack and never let them close. And even with Montpremier back in the lineup for Katie Meyers' team, Clemson never let that become an issue yesterday. And remember that team last year in the tournament with Amanda and her first trip? They kind of got a win and, you know, they felt good and they got into the second round. They had some veteran pieces. Well, yesterday they played a little bit like that team in the tournament last year.
It's also a reminder, too, for teams that have had tough seasons because Clemson had lost 11 straight games heading into the tournament. When team, and I think we're going to see this on the men's side, too, not only just in the ACC but around the country.
Right.
You get to the tournament, you know what? It's a clean slate. Yeah, you might have had a lousy year. I mean, Pitt might have been 1-17 in league play.
Yep.
But you know what? Yesterday, it's zip, zip. It's a clean slate. And these teams come rolling in there going, hey, we got nothing to lose. Let's go have fun, play loose. If we lose, we're supposed to. If we win, hey, surprise, surprise, maybe we can build on it. You saw three games yesterday with the women and three exact games in which the lower seed said, you know what? We're not 1-17. We haven't lost 11 in a row. We're 0-0. Let's go play. I think you're going to see that on the men's side, too, around the country, where some teams that maybe had down years sitting on the bottom third of their league go, we got nothing to lose. Let's go play with our hair on fire.
Well, that's what you were talking about yesterday when you said keep an eye on some of these tournaments.
You have to. You have to. It's and this college hoop season, from the men in particular,
right,
has been so upside down. And we saw more of it again last night. Yeah. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. A&M beats ranked Auburn. Why is that happening?
By the way, Buzz was drenched.
Oh, he's in. You know, we wish him the best because he was a good buddy when he was at Virginia Tech, yep, and now he's down at A&M. And you know, you do what you got to do. But that may be the sweat bowl when those two
him
get
and
together.
Pearl.
Those two dudes. I bet there had to be 50 pounds of salt on the floor when that thing ended with those two guys. But it just is an indicator, though, of what you can expect, not only with the women's side starting right now, but with the men's tournament. Again, I know we got some conference tournaments underway this week, but when the big boys get cranked up next week,
yeah,
it's going to be wide open, man. It's the start of four bizarre, crazy weeks of basketball. I cannot wait to see how it plays out.
All right. We're going to spend some time on last night on the men's side. Oh, boy.
By the way, there's a lot of cool things that happened on March 5th.
Oh, yeah.
Which we're going to get to.
Yeah.
And before we get to anything else, we need to wish your mom.
Oh, yeah, Miss Jean.
Good
luck
today.
Keep grinding, Miss Jean. My mom's trying to work through a knee replacement and keep grinding.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, today, March the 5th, I tweeted this last night, right after midnight. Today is the 9-year anniversary of my dad's last broadcast at Smith Center. Carolina beat Duke 81-67 on Saturday night. And last summer, and I put this on Twitter, last summer my mom was going through some folders and found my dad's chart from that game. She had no idea it was that game. She just found this chart, and I said, that's the last game at Smith Center.
That is so cool.
And we'd have to have a YouTube seminar on me to explain this to you. And people always ask me, does that look like your dad's? Well, actually, I have a fraudulent attempt to look like my dad. He used to put everything on these boards. That's Carolina on the left and Duke on the right. I put it on social media if you want to see the picture, and you can, you know, enlarge the picture and have a look at it. And on Instagram, I put the picture out there, Pac, you'll like this. And I tagged a lot of people who were played in the game because I don't know if they've ever seen it. But 9 years ago, today was my dad's last broadcast at Smith Center. Mm. And
what a run.
2 years ago, Saturday, he passed away. And he loved next week. I cannot tell people how much my dad, and I think Billy was probably the same way.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA tournament was fine. But the finality of the NCAA tournament for people that went to the ACC tournament, it's a little different.
I agree. Totally agree.
The next week is just, my dad loved that event. And doing all the games and doing, oh, look at this. Hey, there's Coach McGuire, Jimmy V. That's the 82 National Championship Final Four at the Superdome in New Orleans. And that's the night he got the Kurt Gowdy Award. Thank Very you guys cool. for doing that.
That's nice.
Yep. He got the Kurt Gowdy Award from the Basketball Hall of Fame. And that's cool. Thanks. But, yeah, 9 years ago today.
You know what else today's an anniversary of?
You're killing a snake?
No. Kershaw's still alive.
Okay.
Well, he may be dead, but I didn't kill him.
Okay.
Kershaw's still, to my knowledge, is still.
As far as you know.
You know what today is?
No.
I'm disappointed in you.
It's Elon Day.
No, it's not. Oh. What it's is not it? Elon Day.
What is it?
March the 5th.
So, debut of ACC Central?
2 years ago, this moment. This particular program right here.
A great story about the first show.
This particular program right here.
We should have Greenberg on.
Was known. No. No. Greenberg was the actual host because you were too busy. All right. But nevertheless, 2 years ago today.
Today, yeah.
This program debuted at 7 a.m. on Sirius XM, channel 371. ACC Today, which eventually morphed into ACC Central, which is now morphed into Packer and Durham.
With mugs and hats. And
that's it. In a Chester
and Fuller.
Really, the show actually started about where you're sitting when I used to have just a shelf and there was a couch right here.
Yeah.
And the radio show, I would look into that wall.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, as we speak, was the start of this goofy idea.
And I was on for 90 seconds.
And Wes was all over the place. It was a crazy time in your life.
Yeah.
And just by happenstance, March 5th was going to be the date.
Mm-hmm.
And you called in entering an airplane for, I think, Delta Airlines.
That's correct.
Seth Greenberg was actual co-host. It was going to be us, but with stuff going on in your life, you called in just to say, hey, listen, I'm Wes Durham, and eventually I will be a part of this program. And that phone conversation, because of a terrible connection going to a Delta flight, lasted about 15 to 20 seconds. Seth Greenberg, who's a regular on this show now, was on with us this week.
That's right.
Was filling in to make sure your seat would be warm. And Seth was so busy with ESPN commitments, he was on for probably, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half of the 3 hour show. He would pack, I gotta leave. I gotta go do a segment for whatever ESPN show.
He was all nervous that they were gonna get upset he was doing this, and he had to run from the radio area back to SportsCenter.
So I kept the thing together for 3 hours for the very first.
And you had the commissioner on the first show.
Yes, correct. Commissioner Swofford. So that was 2 years ago today.
Wow.
The debut of this ridiculous concept. So happy anniversary, Mr. Elon.
Sit tight. Coming up. What about March 5th? What are we doing?
I have a story. By the way, I have a story today.
Yeah?
That will bring the house down.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Happy anniversary to us today. All right. Hoops last night.
Yes, sir.
You knew it was going to be a fist fight, right?
Which one?
I'm talking about the most important one last night.
Florida State, Notre Dame.
You knew this was a dangerous game.
Yep.
And with about 8.5 minutes to go, it was beyond dangerous. Because the Irish are up 13 and feeling it. And you're like, man, we talked about how this, you know, Clemson's rearview mirror. You knew winning on the road's tough. And Notre Dame had kind of controlled all the business up to that point in time. And what do championship teams do, Wes? They respond.
Yeah, they do.
And that is exactly what MJ Walker and company did with 8.5 to go. This was a heck of a finish, though.
It was a heck of a finish. It's a heck of a game. The other thing that just pops off the page is here's Leonard Hamilton's team one more time showing you a comeback of anywhere from 8 to 10 or more pack in the last 10 minutes.
There's the game winner.
Oh, he's unbelievable. Come on now.
Gutsy,
how important is that guy?
All of them. They play as a team. That's what makes this group so tough to beat. So many guys, so many dudes could step up and make plays. And, you know, even after that shot going in, Notre Dame's half-court heave off the back rim. And, man, it was on target.
Yep.
But a gut-wrenching loss for Notre Dame. Looking for their first win against a ranked team. They've now lost, I believe what I read, 21 straight to ranked teams.
That's right.
21 in a row, Notre Dame. They've just not been able to get over the hump in those kind of games. Close games are 4-7,
mm-hmm.
And tight games coming down the stretch. And that's the difference between being 9-10 or in the tournament comfortably with 12 or 13 conference wins. It's that simple.
And to his credit, despite the tough loss last night, John Mooney with us at 9:30 this morning, from South Bend. Jordan Cornett at 9 o'clock, by the way, also to take us through the night in the men's car. Here's all you need to know about where Florida State is.
Simple.
They win Saturday. They're the regular season champs.
They're the number one seed.
Yep, number one seed. Now, they could be tied for that if Louisville were to beat Virginia, but because Florida State swept the Cavaliers, Florida State swept Louisville, if regardless of whether Louisville wins or not against Virginia, Florida State will be the top seed. So it's in the Noles' hands, by the way, on Saturday at home.
Against BC. Depleted Boston College.
Yeah, or we know who didn't play the other night. We'll see who plays Saturday, BC. Because it the one thing I've gone back and looked at, by the way, I've got a note for you coming up here today that it's going to blow your mind here. The idea that BC and Jim Christian, who's had an evolving lineup seemingly every night as to who's available and who's not, He brings his team to Tallahassee. No Hamiltons and no Popovich the other night in the loss at home to Syracuse.
You know what else there's a no to with Tallahassee? No losses. That's what Florida State's done at home. Zero in the L column. Yeah. Best home court in the league, and they've got everything to play for. That's why last night's game was so critical. Big picture. And great win for Florida State. They led for a grand total of 19 seconds. That's it. You know what? As long as there's a 0-0-0 on the time and you got more points, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But that's a tough loss for Notre Dame.
Right.
And they played well enough to win the game. No question.
And here's the thing. They looked like, for most of the night, the team that I keep telling you is going to be dangerous next week. I mean, how confident are they at the offensive end, Mark? And when they take Durham off the floor, it doesn't matter where you catch and shoot behind the line. Any of them can knock the shot down. And I think that's the one thing about Notre Dame now is you start to see they're playing really well. In fact, you could say, despite the loss in Winston-Salem and despite the loss last night, they're playing well enough to win a game or two.
I didn't think they played well in Winston-Salem, but they have been terrific at home. They've really played well at home. The problem, though, Wes, is if you try to crystal ball Notre Dame, can they score? Yes. Can when they make shots, are they dangerous? Yes. But they've not gotten over the mental hurdle of beating a team with a number beside their name. And when you're 0-for, I mean, in that game last night, man, they had every reason to win that game last night. You're up 13 at home, crowds in the game. Florida State understands what's at play. I mean, I know Florida State's thinking, man, we win this game, we'll take our chances at home against BC to be that one team, right? But we got to win this game. And the thing that's so good about Florida State is, and we've talked about this for 8 weeks, on a given night, they've got a handful of guys that can say, you know what? I feel it. MJ Walker, doing. Vassell, boom. Forrest, boom. And it goes on. Polite, boom. They got guys and guys and guys. That's why they are so tough. And they may not have a first-team all-ACC player listed when the media votes. But they are a team. They are a unit. And that, to me, makes them incredibly dangerous, not only next week in Greensboro, but when we get cranked up for the big picture for March Madness. They can get to Atlanta and win it all.
All right, let's go to Coral Gables. Here's the other tight fit of the night, if you will. And it belongs to the Virginia Cavaliers, who go do Virginia things. What do I mean by Virginia things? Sub-50-point game.
And win.
Kihei Clark, couple of free throws late. Cavaliers, gritty, gutty. Miami throws haymakers. Chris Likes goes down with an injury to the eye. And Virginia wins for a seventh straight time.
Seven straight wins, six of which by a grand total of 13 points. You heard me. Six of the seven in this winning streak by a grand total of 13. And the closer it gets, the tighter it gets, the better Virginia gets. That's what makes them so tough.
Yep. Kihei Clark, go get it. There he goes again. He hit the free throws late. Mamadi Diakite, 11th straight game in double figures.
How about Jay Huff last night? Not only does he give you 17, he gives you the first 17 of the game for
There's
Virginia.
The foul, by the way. Harlan Beverly.
Well, you heard what happened. Jim Larnaga was yelling at the referee about a previous play. Hey, it's a foul, foul, foul. His own player thought, hey, I need to foul the player from Virginia. It did, and Clark does what Clark does. Makes two key free throws, ball game. The Hoos do it again.
Richard Simmons, stats guys to the ACC Network, again, affirmed this last night. Virginia has trailed only once at the four-minute media timeout in the second half in 19 ACC games. The only time they've trailed at the under four, at Florida State. That was a long time ago.
That's nuts. By the way, you know, we always, every time we have a student athlete on, regardless of sport, we always ask them what's the toughest class. And there's a reason we do that.
Lamar Jackson.
Well, it started from that, from SiriusXM days, old show. But last night, Jay Huff was asked after the game about how would you describe this. He said, we were fortuitous. He said, by the way, that's an SAT word.
Jay said that?
Yes.
Which to Bonner and Schlanger?
No, this was to the media afterwards.
Oh, to the media.
And I thought that was such a great answer because that's why we ask every student athlete that comes on the show, what is the most difficult course you've had at your school? Because this league has a bunch of smart dudes. All right, just telling you. Virginia just knows how to win these games. Okay, yeah. I mean, Tony Bennett has done such a remarkable job with this group.
No doubt.
And if they beat Louisville,
holy smokes,
on Saturday, just saying, if they beat Louisville on Saturday,
A lot of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. When we come back,
almost as good as the story I'm going to tell you guys.
Feel like I'm on.
And it happened to a family member.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
It is our anniversary. 2 years ago, this moment, there were executives at SiriusXM that said we had made a terrible, terrible
awful
mistake. Only compounded by ESPN going, I think we should put these idiots on television. And now look at us.
It's Elon Day.
It's Elon Day. Noel backwards. No. That's the only way we're selling this to the ACC network. Noel backwards.
They were nice enough to let me graduate. All right, ready?
I am beyond ready.
Okay. We're going to have a discussion at some point on this program, tomorrow likely, about first team all ACC.
Tomorrow we're in Greensboro.
I know we are. I know exactly what we're doing. First team all ACC. Because you got a fight going on. There are about eight guys for five spots.
Really?
Some would say maybe not you. However, all rookie, all freshman is a whole nother issue. Because somebody has entered the conversation here, and yet he's only played in six ACC games. Well, he's actually played in 12. But
Wait, time out, Elon-ish. Give me that line again.
Cole Anthony has
played. He's actually played in 12. I mean, it's six or seven, five or six. Not six or 12. Come on.
The stat for Carolina is this.
All right, give it to me.
Cole Anthony, Garrison Brooks, and Brandon Robinson have only played together in six ACC games.
Are we talking freshman or North Carolina?
We're talking Cole Anthony.
You told me you knew what we were doing.
I did.
What's the topic?
All right, the topic is, should Cole Anthony be on the all-freshman team?
Here's the answer for you. Y-E-S, yes.
Well, I understand.
Why is that a debate?
It's not a debate. I'm just presenting stuff here because you say, well, wait a second. He's on a tear here recently. He's unbelievable. He's averaging 20-some points a ball game.
Yeah, he's an all-freshman.
Yeah.
What's the problem? I've heard every word you've said.
Some would say it's not that simple.
It is that simple.
One moron
doesn't think he's an all-freshman player.
I don't know if I need to call people that.
Well, I'm going to. Who is the person that you think doesn't think he's an all-freshman player?
There's been some discussion.
By whom? That's what I'm asking.
Other people who follow the ACC.
For the fourth time, Elon, who said that?
I'm not giving it direct.
Oh, you dropped more names and now you won't give me a single name. What's wrong with you?
All right, so Vernon Carey.
He didn't say it.
I know he didn't say it. I'm just talking about it's been a point of discussion. Should Cole Anthony be all rookie?
I know Elon. Listen to me. Read my lips. Yes, he is. No debate.
I know.
Okay. What else we got?
My question would be.
You're going to ask me the same question. Of course he's an all-freshman player.
He missed a dozen games.
I don't care if he missed whatever. If you don't think he's one of the five best freshman players in the league, you don't know basketball.
I understand that.
Then why are we debating this?
Because I think it was a question up until this recent tear.
From whom? I'll ask
people
for the
that
fifth
follow
time.
The league.
Oh, please. Please. He is a lock for all freshmen. Leonard Hamilton is a lock for the coach of the year. Period. If that doesn't happen, I will go bonkers on this show. Come on.
More so than this?
This is bonkers. I just want to know the moron that doesn't believe he should be all freshman.
By the way, Vernon Carey, Landers Nolly.
Yes, yes.
Justin Champagny.
Yes. Go Syracuse.
Joe Girard.
There you go. And stop. There's five.
What about David Johnson and Isaiah Wong?
Tremendous years. They've been terrific in spikes and so forth. Not knocking their games. Johnson was awesome when they beat Duke. Wong was terrific filling in for likes. But the first five guys you mentioned, that's it. Period.
Cole Anthony's only won the All-Freshman or Freshman of the Week award twice.
I get it, and so is Wong. I get it. He went back-to-back. Cole Anthony is on the All-Freshman team. I don't even know why this is a – I don't know what circles you hang in once you walk through those doors at 10 a.m. every morning. But whoever you're hanging out with, you need to straighten those people out. Do they also walk around today with Elon sweatshirts? Any of them?
Yeah, there's some guys in the media that Elon grads.
Does not surprise me. Come on. Cole Anthony is on the all-freshman
team. I don't disagree with you. I just think that the conversation is interesting because of the way he has played recently and then missing a dozen games and the way he started.
West.
There was a lull. He didn't shoot it particularly well at times in his return. Carolina wasn't playing very well. Agree or not?
No, Carolina hasn't played well all year. It's a reason they're 6-13. But they've also been banged up. But that is a team conversation, not an individual conversation. Mm-hmm. Cole Anthony lately has played as an all-ACC player.
No question.
But he's not going to be all-ACC for everything that all your buddies are talking about. He's been too wildly inconsistent, and he has not played all year. But if you don't think he's one of the five best freshmen in the league, you're out of your mind.
I think he is as talented a player when healthy as the league has.
Is there an echo in here? Is there?
Like, I'm with you on that.
Is there like a force field? Did I not just say that?
I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you.
But so who's your all-freshman team since you're into this stuff? You like to vote on all these things. See, I don't. This is why I don't vote, because I can rant on radio or television with it. But you vote, so
you'll be critical of those that do.
I will, because I think it's stupid. So go ahead.
Like, you're going to have a problem potentially with all ACC.
Probably. I got to see it first. I can't tell you if I'm going to think it's great or it's awful until you see it.
I think that the...
Who are your five?
I think the five we're talking about, Anthony, Carey, Nolly, Champagne, and Girard.
Right.
It's a really good five.
I think it's a terrific
five. I would also say this, too. David Johnson is a stronger candidate on this list than just his numbers would tell you. Because I think when David Johnson has played well, 19 at Duke.
Right. I went to the Duke game. He was critical in Louisville's win at Cameron.
So to leave David Johnson off this list is going to be met with some scrutiny from people who have followed Louisville and know how his impact has measured the card's success this year. Because quite frankly, when Jordan Wara was struggling, David Johnson was the pick-me-up guy for them.
I love his game. And when you go through the list of the guys, whether they make this team or not, it's one of the reasons I am absolute bullish on ACC hoops next year.
Right.
This conference next year is getting ready to go, hey, guess what, boys? Hope everybody had a good time, but we're ready to wear some people out.
Yeah, we showed you Cole Anthony's numbers, by the way, here recently. In ACC play, he's averaging 21 points a game, shooting 41% from the floor, about 38% from three-point territory. He's got 52 assists and 41 turnovers in conference play in 12 games.
I've said my piece. You know where I stand on this issue.
Absolutely. And I don't disagree with you. I just think it's an interesting point of discussion that's been had among people that follow the ACC. In fact, I was asked about it yesterday.
By whom?
Folks on radio.
Name one.
Eastern North Carolina. Mark Pancinelli asked me about it.
Mark Pancinelli.
Yeah, hosts a show on ESPN Radio in Greenville, I think.
All right, now that we dropped his name and gave him some love, what's Mark's opinion? Does he not
believe Cole Anthony? He asked me, do you think Cole Anthony's all rookie? I said, absolutely.
And did Mark Pancinelli, an Eastern North Carolina ESPN affiliate, whatever, did he agree with you?
Yes.
There you go. I keep telling you. You haven't named one person yet. You keep dropping. There are people. I haven't heard one person's name that doesn't believe Cole Anthony shouldn't
be
all.
But you never leave the basement.
Doesn't matter where I am, who I chase, what I eat, what I wear, Elon.
What's next?
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
2 years ago today, this whole thing got started on Sirius XM, Channel 371.
And I just thought it was Elon Day.
And you, yeah, that's again. Always thinking about yourself, not the team. All right.
By the way, people may have seen, Biana may show on the camera one here. See the box and the chair?
Wait till you see what's in there.
You've already looked
at it. Well, I didn't know what it was. Oh. And then it dawned on me when I was opening it yesterday. Got it. Elliot Avent was on the show and said, hey, man, you be careful out there with that snake. In the meantime, there's going to be a delivery.
Well, there's the delivery.
And so I opened it. Had it half open. I was like, oh, I just peeked in and went, oh, my goodness. So I shut it real quick.
All right.
So you'll see it later.
So there we go. Jack Mueller is one of the best 125-pound wrestlers on the planet.
Yep.
And spent some time with us yesterday. And
University of Virginia.
I mean, he's excited to get going, and he's got every reason to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, we got the championships coming up Sunday in Pittsburgh. And, again, this dude right here is number two in the country in his weight class of a buck 25. We asked him point blank, how do you keep that mojo heading into the championships?
Just stick to my game plan, don't overthink anything, and just have fun out there.
Jack, it's interesting because when you had great success at 133 and now you're at 125, you've had a great year at 125. What's this 2019-20 season been like for you?
A lot of ups and downs, injuries, overcoming that. But if anything, it's just taught me how to be a better leader. Being a fourth-year senior, you know, I really try to reach out to the freshmen and try and really make it all about the team rather than about myself.
You know, at a buck 25, Jack, I'm always fascinated with weight when it comes to boxers and wrestlers. How difficult is it to maintain a buck 25?
I'm never really sitting around 125. I'm usually about 13 over comfortably. But when I get down there, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's definitely tough.
What's the hardest part? Is it you got to be careful with hydration? I've always heard that, right?
So, like right now, I'm getting overhydrated, just drinking as much as I can. And then the hardest part is definitely the day before. I get about five over, and those last 5 pounds are really killer.
So what? Just take us through the process from a weight perspective to get down to the right number for an event. I mean, so you mentioned the last day is the hardest. So what do you do?
So all week, all month, I'm sticking to my diet. So pretty much it involves only water, and no carbs at night. You'll float a lot more and it will shrink my body a little bit. And then, the week of, I have goals every night. So I like to be, like a 38, if I'm wrestling on Friday, 38 on Monday, 36 on Tuesday, 34. And then I'll wake up about 7 over the day before. I'll go run. I'll get down to about 4 or 3 over. And then gain a little bit. And then the last practice, it's very intense, high cardio, high pace. And I get off the last 4 or 5.
Okay, so when you made the decision to go to 125 and you're the defending champ at 125, you're back there again, obviously having a great year at that weight. We were at 133 and then you go to 125. What's the big change for you? I mean, you've got to conscientiously think, okay, I've had success at 133, but I can be better at 125. Am I a better wrestler at 125 than I am 133?
I think part of it had to do with the team. I think we just showed up as a better team with me at 125, but also just a lot more stuff works when I'm cutting a ton of weight, and I think that I have to do extra, and it gives me a little bit of a mental edge. Like, okay, I'm doing all this extra work. I should be winning. I should be doing it. At 33, I can get comfortable and not have to do the extra sprints, not have to do the extra runs. So I think it's just a little bit of a mental edge that I wouldn't get at 133.
All right. I want to ask you about the mental edge now of the championship in Pittsburgh this weekend. What's that like? What's the tournament-type format for you? As a guy who lines it up on a schedule, you've got obviously a great regimen here put in place to be successful. So how does that change when you get to a tournament environment?
Well, ACC is a little bit different. Because I'm the one seed, I get a bye, and it's scheduled on the dot. So 9 a.m. weigh-in, 11 a.m. first round, 1 p.m. semis. So I get a four-hour weigh-in, whereas duels, being the first guy up, I only get 1 hour. So I get a lot more time to put in weight or put in fluids, get hydrated, and I'll feel a lot better. Plan is just make weight, go back to the hotel, rest, eat, drink, maybe get a little bit of sleep because it's really hard to sleep when you're super dehydrated, and then just be ready to go to work.
Jack, as far as the nationals are concerned, I would expect that what you have seen in ACC competition absolutely helps you. I mean, we've got four teams ranked in the top nine heading into the ACC championships. I just kind of try to tell folks big picture about this league. I know from your standpoint, it's an individual thing now along with the team, but big picture, man, this league's really, really terrific in wrestling. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool to see. I had a brother who wrestled in about 2010, 2009, and the ACC was only taking 13 guys to the NCAA. Now I think we got 36 or 37 bids. It's really amazing to see the growth in the past decade. And every duel has been exciting. I mean, UVA is not ranked in the top 10, but we sure pushed UNC and Virginia Tech to the brink, and we're right there from being in the top 10. So it's really exciting to see.
Jack, you mentioned your brother Keegan, who wrestled at Carolina. What kind of influence did he have in you coming to this league, and what was the difference in, you know, your decision, obviously, to go to Virginia and not follow his steps to Chapel Hill? Just a different time for you in terms of when you came along?
Yeah, you know, I knew I wanted to go to the ACC just with him in college. But when I met Coach Garland and I stepped foot on campus, I knew I needed to be here. Coach Garland's a man. He always has my back as a human rather than just a wrestler. And I knew I didn't want to be a part of something that was more of a business. I wanted to be a part of a family. And as soon as I met Coach Garland, I knew I had that.
Jack, I know that you got to be disciplined all year to be a wrestler. But when you want to go splurge, like when you want to just kind of get away from being incredibly disciplined, well, again, I'm always fascinated with wrestlers and boxers because of the weight situation. What do you do, man? Is it just like, hey, I'm going to go eat three pizzas? What do you do with that? When it's time to just splurge, what's the story?
It really depends on, like, that week. But, I mean, I've been dying for some Chinese food. I could go for some General So's and orange chicken right now. That's going to be the first thing I'm eating after NCAAs, for sure.
See, what I would like to do one time, especially with wrestlers, again, it's always about the weight and the precision and the discipline. I would love to take a bunch of wrestlers after a match and just say, hey, we're going to go eat. We're going to go have all-you-can-eat buffet. And for you, it would be Chinese, obviously. But I think it would be spectacular to watch what you guys consume from just a pure caloric standpoint after what you put your body through to get in that kind of shape.
Yeah, it's a lot of us can put some food down for sure. Our 97-pounder tried this Benny's Challenge, which is a 28-inch pizza, and he was one piece away from finishing it.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we can eat.
Well, it's interesting because I know how close-knit the coaching community is at the University of Virginia. And to be honest with you, we've had a lot of different student-athletes from the university on, and we had some swimmers on. We've had yourself from wrestling. The swimmers sound like they eat like it's going out of style when they get finished with competitions or leading into competitions, and you guys are going for months before you get to eat what you want. I mean, is there some good-natured ribbing about it with each other, about what we have to go through to get better and compete in our competitions?
It definitely brings us closer, you know. It's another sacrifice we have to make to be great.
Hey, Bob, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jack, but out of curiosity's sake, when you go buy a pair of jeans, what's your waist size?
Oh, wow. Here we go.
I don't really get jeans, but I think it's like a 28 or 30, right?
Wes, when's the last time you...
size?
Yeah. No, you're good. 28's good. So when's the last time you rolled in to say, I want to... check out the 28s.
28s?
Yeah.
Fifth grade?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right, listen, we always ask every student athlete that comes on the show.
He's going to have a good answer to this.
I would hope so.
You're going to have a good answer. This guy's going to have a good one.
All right, Jack, here's the deal. What is the toughest class you've ever had at the University of Virginia?
Oh, gosh. I'm in one right now. It's called Empirical Industrial Organization, and it is tough. I have to write like a 30-page paper of like observing mergers in oligopolies and decide if it's okay or not and do empirical evaluation of it. So
okay.
That one's pretty rough.
Empirical Industrial Organization?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right. So what would be second? What would be the next hardest class?
Public choice. So the use of economics and public policy was a pretty good one.
That sounds good. I like that one.
Yeah, they got real hard at
that's right down my alley right there.
Is it?
It is. Economics. Right. I can handle that. That'd be good.
Hey, Jack, we wish you a lot of luck in Pittsburgh and on to the Nationals. Hope you make it to Minneapolis. We'd love to see you at U.S. Bank in front of 40-some thousand here in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me.
Guy weighs 125 pounds. He would put us in a pretzel hold in about 2 milliseconds.
Right out there in the driveway.
Yeah.
My head hurts, by the way.
He would twist us up to the point where we didn't know up from down.
My head hurts.
Buck 25.
My head hurts.
What's the matter?
Oligopoly.
You got that.
No, I do not.
Yeah, you know who's
got
that?
State of limited competition in which a market is shared by a small number of producers or sellers.
You got that.
I think we should start having Packer and Durham words of the day.
Yeah. How about Elon? Come on, man.
Hebrew word for oak.
There it is. There's the word. And so apropos on today, March 5th, Elon Day, also the anniversary of the debut of this program 2 years ago on SiriusXM.
I'm trying to make sure the shirt gets its full.
I tell you what, though. We've had fun with the wrestlers now.
Absolutely.
And the league is loaded.
Yes, it is. And Sunday night, you get a crack at it. Right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app, the ACC Wrestling Championship from the Peterson Events Center in Pittsburgh. Coverage of the finals begins at 7 Eastern. Sean, Kenny, Rock, Harrison are there.
Raccoon Valley in the Rock.
That's it. NC State, the defending champ. They've won the title 16 times, including twice under Coach Pat Papalizio, who sent us the headgear.
Well, actually, Elliot Avent takes credit for it, but the wrestling folks are disagreeing with it.
Yeah, they are.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.